Chapter 21. A little of your time. Anastasia opened her eyes. She lifted her body from the cold wooden floor in a room that looked unfamiliar to her. She slowly stood to her feet, and she felt a stark tingle on her forehead. The dark room she awoke in showed no signs of forced entry. She stumbled to a wide-open door near the back of the room and glanced to the right and to the left. Eventually, her location came to her memory. She was at Nathan's sanctuary. But this wasn't her room. She opened the door, and she heard several voices coming from Nathan's study room on the lower floor. She slowly paced herself in that direction, picking up on the familiar scents of Nathan, Remy, Maris, Aiden, and Hallie. But one scent didn't belong, and that scent made her move even faster to their location. She briskly headed down the stairs to the study. When she reached the doorway, she peered in. The crackling of embers in the fireplace didn't come close to blanketing the sounds of the voices inside. Nathan sat on his chair in front of the fireplace with Aiden and Maris standing near the fireplace mantel. Remy and Hallie stood on the other end of the room. All of them remained quiet, while Kenneth Deerhorn, who sat on the opposite end of the room, spoke to them. Maris was the first to see Anastasia from the corner of her eye. Dressed in light blue jeans and a loose-fitting blue shirt, she eyed Anastasia as she entered the room. Remy became the second person to see Anastasia and the first person to greet her by speaking. "You're awake." Dressed in typical researcher clothing, Kenneth's eyes locked onto Anastasia and he smiled while leaning back in his chair. "What is he doing here?" Anastasia's question put a halt to their conversation. "I was invited," Kenneth replied calmly. Anastasia kept her distance, eyeing Kenneth, as she heard Nathan's thoughts speak to her. Patience. She cared nothing for patience. Kenneth didn't belong, and she didn't trust him. Nathan sipped from his coffee mug, and he swallowed the contents before speaking. "Remy will catch you up to speed, Anastasia. We were just discussing the last piece of the Dark Curse. We might have located it last night." Anastasia opened her mouth to speak, but again she sensed Nathan's thoughts moving into her mind, quelling her. Again, he called for Anastasia to be patient. "This time our goals are the same," Nathan said out loud. "I doubt that," Anastasia replied. "Yes, they are." Kenneth stood up from his chair. "Mr. Austin needs to be returned safe. To do that, Celine requires that the Brotherhood hand over their peace, and as you know, we don't have it, thanks to Nathan's father." Anastasia turned and walked over to the nearest wall. She leaned against it with her arms folded across her chest. Her lips scrunched, and she waited patiently to see who was going to attempt to calm the tension next. She could never agree with anything regarding the Brotherhood. They helped Kai capture Lucius to place him in limbo. Their history with the demon wasn't the best, and she'd be foolish to join with them without thinking of what they truly wanted to do. "You must understand that this goes beyond your feelings for the Brotherhood," Kenneth said. Remy stopped the conversation by whispering in Anastasia's ear, "I know it's hard, but just play along." Kenneth clapped his hands together. "Let's stay on track." He looked to Nathan. "So, you've located the piece your father took from our archives?" Nathan raised his chin slightly. "Yes, but first we have a few things that need to be cleared for us to move on." Kenneth's eyes narrowed. "Veronica." "Veronica is doing well in our care," Kenneth answered. "I don't see how she has anything to do with our current situation." "When she's recovered, you will give her a choice if she wants to return or not." "I can't make that promise. It goes way above my head, Mr. Tiernan." Kenneth tilted his head to the side. "Shouldn't we be talking about her father instead? He's the one in danger." "Who cares about that old prick?" Remy's outburst caused everyone in the room to turn their attention to him. His eyes had turned completely black. "No, Mr. Austin, no deal," Kenneth replied firmly. "You demon fail to realize that the Brotherhood can go in this alone if we have to."
"And so can we."
Remy folded his hands across his chest. "She and her father are part of the deal, Kenneth," Nathan replied. "We can both agree to that, right?" Eventually, Kenneth nodded,
His body relaxed and the tension of the room dissipated.
"We'll get the peace by tomorrow night," Nathan replied.
"I can't tell Celine without any proof of that," Kenneth replied. "I need some assurance."
"Absolutely not," Anastasia objected. "He wants another sign of good faith."
Remy rolled his eyes. "How about allowing you to walk out of here with 2 feet? That's a sign of good faith."
Kenneth snickered. "Right now I have 50 mercenaries at my disposal. I can snap my fingers and they'll come in and do what they're trained to do."
He looked back to Anastasia. Anastasia and Kenneth went silent in their stare down, and the tension returned in the room. Eventually, Aiden spoke out.
"Your mercenaries wouldn't stand a chance."
"You'd be surprised," Kenneth replied to him. Nathan raised his head. "There is no need to fight among ourselves. We're all on the same side."
Kenneth's snicker turned into a smile.
"Good. I'm glad you see it this way, Mr. Tiernan. So when you get the piece, you'll hand it over to me."
Nathan nodded, which made Remy snap his head in his direction.
"If you weren't my friend, I'd eat you right now."
"Remy, there aren't any other options on how to approach this," Nathan replied.
"You aren't thinking about actually giving it to him."
Remy shook his head in disbelief. Anastasia had heard enough.
Still weary of Kenneth's true agenda, she decided to remain silent in the conversation and come up with her own plan.
"We will have 100 of our best mercenaries standing outside the warehouse," Kenneth said. "I'll give them the signal and they will lead the attack, allowing all of you to go in afterwards."
Anastasia spoke in Nathan's thoughts.
"He's hiding something." Still loathing, Remy asked,
"Lucius can read the minds of all your human mercenaries in seconds. He'll know we'll be right behind them."
"I will go in first, shortly followed by the mercenaries. They'll be too concerned with the peace to sense you all coming."
Aiden shook his head. "You don't understand, human. Ancients can break through your thought barriers," he added.
"Lucius will know you are lying before you walk in."
"If you don't like this plan, then maybe one of you should accompany me into the warehouse. How about you?"
Kenneth looked at Aiden.
"Or maybe you."
He then turned his attention to Anastasia. She opened her mouth, unable to hold herself back anymore about speaking against the plan.
Kenneth spoke. "I'm sure they'll welcome her with open arms."
Being volunteered to go first with Kenneth was the last thing she expected. Out of everyone in the room, she still remained the only demon Lucius trusted, somewhat. She felt her shoulders relax and she looked to the floor.
"True, but it doesn't mean that I'm the better choice. I'll go in with you, but not because you want me to."
Nathan looked to Anastasia.
"Are you sure?"
Anastasia nodded. "I don't trust Kenneth with the piece. I'd rather be there to make sure things go as planned."
Nathan then turned to Kenneth.
"Your mercenaries will meet us on the rooftop across the street from the warehouse."
Kenneth smiled. "All I need to do is make one phone call."
"Make your phone call."
Anastasia left the room and headed outside. She placed her hands on the wooden railing and she stared out at the landscape in front of her. Her mind went over the future meeting she'd have with Lucius and Celine tomorrow night. She would face Lucius' wrath, but deep inside, she wanted to believe that there wasn't any way in hell the Pure Ones controlled Lucius as much as she was led to believe. When they freed Lucius from limbo, she grew to like the new fragile, scared and weak Lucius, or so she thought. But she missed the old Lucius, the Lugat whose voice brought fear into Demon, the man who kept those under him in line. The chaotic but fair Lucius, the demon whom Anastasia considered to be her true sire. The new Lucius probably wanted nothing but her death. If there was one thing that Anastasia loathed, it was knowing that she might have to take him out, if she could. Her doubts and questions pounded throughout her head to the point of a small migraine. She drummed her fingers on the wooden railing and she watched the clouds cascading through the sky. The moon was nowhere to be seen. Whether the light from the stars above would assist them didn't matter to her. She liked it dark, Behind her, she heard the noise of wooden planks creaking under someone's weight, and she looked over her left shoulder. Aiden stood just in front of the doorway, wrapped in a thick, ruffled white blanket. "What do you want now?" Anastasia turned back to the stars. "A little of your time." He cautiously stepped forward, and the boards again moaned under his weight. He saw Anastasia jerk her head slightly to the left at the sound, and he stopped. "You had my attention last night," Anastasia answered. He waited for a moment before speaking again. "Yes, but this time it's just me. Maris is still inside." She inhaled deeply, taking in his Metuspa scent. "So, what do you want?"
"To talk about you.
I'm not in the mood to hear your threats. You're just one of the many people who want me dead, Aiden. That's nothing new." "Well, this might sound new to you." He stood beside her. "My sire told me stories about the Romanga that decimated entire sanctuaries throughout Europe and northern Italy. This demon killed whoever stood in her way, human and her own alike, and she did it without remorse. Demon feared you. Even my sire, who was much older than you, feared you." Anastasia quickly turned to face Aiden, and her eyes grew dark. She felt her fangs beginning to move into place. But Aiden didn't jump back. Instead, he continued to speak. "Anyone who stood up to you met their deaths." "You're telling me something that I don't already know," she growled. "Now let me tell you something." She moved in, standing inches away from him. "I'm older and stronger than you and Maris combined. You can't take me on my worst day. I'm giving you the option to accept that and to leave the city with Maris once this is all over." "I've killed demon older than you," Aiden replied, unmoved by her threat. "Your age doesn't scare me." Anastasia felt her fangs retreat and her eyes turn back to normal. "When you least expect it, we will come for you." Any other time, she wouldn't sit and listen to the threat. She knew that she could kill Aiden without breaking her stride, but part of her wanted to know exactly why he wanted her dead. It couldn't be because of her past. Even though he looked familiar, she still had problems figuring out why. She understood Maris's rage, but Aiden's own made her question. "Why do you want to kill me?" she asked. "Is it because of Maris? Do you like her?"
"Not any more than you do." He turned away slightly. "But I understand her, and we share the same hatred for you. So how did I cause this hatred you have for me? You kill indiscriminately without remorse for those left behind."
"That's it," she snarled. "This is what I do, what I am, what we are. I kill. You kill."
"Yes, but the difference is I don't do it because I can." He moved slightly toward her. "I do it because I have to."
Suddenly, Anastasia gripped Aiden by his shirt collar and she pulled him in close. He reacted quickly, catching her off guard. Placing his hands over her wrists, he pulled them outward, twisting her arms. He continued, and Anastasia lifted onto her toes as he used his grip to gain the upper hand. Her eyes turned and she fought back, trying to maneuver against his strength, but again, he countered her. She felt her arms beginning to strain, and he pushed her again, this time bringing her to her knees. Anastasia's eyes widened. Aiden's sudden control over her made no sense. Never in her long life had any demon younger than her overpowered her. He had her in a position in which she couldn't escape. She waited helplessly for his next move. He could kill her if he wanted to, but instead he let her go. Anastasia rubbed her wrists and slowly stood to her feet. "Like I said, I've killed demon older than you." Aiden stepped back. "You don't scare me." Paranoia consumed her and she searched his face, looking for some sign that had revealed the answer to her. Suddenly it hit her. Demon remained loyal and bonded to their sires, even in death. If the sire bond wasn't broken, an offspring did whatever they needed to do to protect the one who sired them. Aiden picked up on her thoughts and he turned back to the house. "There, you have your answer," he said. before walking back into the house, leaving her to marinate in her realization.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/Isayan Morrison.